And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, the Republic learns of an impending separatist attack on Kamino, and Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi hurry to the planet. Asajj Ventress, General Grievous, and an army of droids rise out of the ocean, bent on destroying Kamino's clone production facilities. Rex, Cody, Fives, and Echoes lead the clones into a desperate defense of their home planet. There will be the return of Ventress in all her glory, Jango juices, and Obi-Wan makes a brand new friend. We're talking about ARC Troopers this week. How you doing, Chris?
Good, yeah. Obi-Wan pulls a Jar Jar.
I know. His friend was much cuter than the space slug.
Yeah.
Speaking of Obi-Wan, Okay, listeners, this is going to be so irrelevant by the time this episode comes out, because, you know, like, we record several weeks ahead. But the season 3 mid-season trailer for Rebels dropped today. Oh my fucking god!
Yeah, they know how to do it up, huh?
Yeah! So me and Chris already agreed that we'll keep this super short, because by the time this episode comes out, we're going to be in season 3, but I just had to, like, freak out for, like, a second. So, let's talk about the Obi-Wan elephant in the room.
Old Obi-Wan, we've been saying that looked like was where they're headed, and that is definitely where they're headed. Old Obi-Wan poking a fire and tattooing.
You want to know what I'm interested in seeing? Because the Jedi Order aren't around anymore. There's no one really regulating Jedi anymore. And Obi-Wan's been a crazy old man on a planet for like 20 years. So I'm hoping he just goes, "Hey Maul, you killed my fucking girlfriend last time we met. I got a score to settle with you." Because there's really no Jedis to, like, say, "No, Obi-Wan, that's the dark side." Or is he going to, like, stick to his morals and be like, "I'm a Jedi, let bygones be bygones. You kind of killed Satine, he'll be fine."
From what Darth Maul's voice actor's been talking about, he might have a little bit of an arc of redemption.
Yeah, that's true.
So Darth Maul might be coming to look for forgiveness from Obi-Wan or say, "Hey, you know, if you want to take a swat at me, go for it."
I think that'd be kind of cool, but kind of weird for the character. But at the same time, if he went down, like, a Ventress path, where, like, Ventress wasn't entirely good, she was just like, "I'm going to be a bounty hunter, and I'm going to kill people for fun, and, like, get paid to do it." Like, that'd be cool, because that way he wouldn't be entirely, like, good, but, like, if he went down, like, a Ventress path, that would be awesome.
It's going to be interesting. We know Obi-Wan comes out alive.
Yeah. My only thing, and I was telling Chris about this before, is I think it's Steven Stanton, who is now, I think that's his name, but he's the voice of Tarkin on Clone Wars and Rebels. And he's the voice of Obi-Wan, which he does really good work, but I'm actually really bummed out that James Arnold Taylor is not voicing old Obi-Wan, because he was Obi-Wan for so long. He carried the character for God knows how long, like 6 seasons of Clone Wars, beginning of Rebels, and he's carried this character. And, like, for a lot of kids, like, if Clone Wars was their first experience, like, that's their first Obi-Wan. And so I'm kind of on the fence about how I feel about that, because I do know that Stephen Stanton does really good work. But it's James Arnold Taylor.
He sounds like Alec Guinness. I don't know. Maybe James Arnold Taylor does a good Ewan McGregor, but he just doesn't do the Alec Guinness.
And I can understand that, too. And if that was the case, that's fine. But I was definitely kind of bummed when I found that out. Because, like, when I heard Obi-Wan talk in the trailer, I was like, that doesn't sound like James Arnold Taylor. So that was my only real, like, bummed moment.
I assumed it was James Arnold Taylor as a young Obi-Wan, and then the new guy is old Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I'm definitely super excited. I'm also, like, I'm really wanting to see how they bring in, like, the Rogue One stuff, like, bringing in Saul and Mon Mothma. I can't wait to see that. And also to see what they do with Sabine and the Darksaber and Mandalore. That's going to be awesome!
It looks like she's getting some semi-Jedi training, or at least training from a Jedi.
And you know, I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, this could be... Because as of right now, in canon, and I'm stating in canon, the current canon, is Mandalore with the Empire, or are they neutral? I'm assuming they're with the Empire.
Yeah, but it seems like in the trailer, they're just like, hey, you know, if you start doing this, it's going to bring the Empire down on us, as if they've been trying to keep out of it, you know what I mean?
And we have seen a few different clans, and like one of the last episodes of before the end of the season, we saw Mando Commandos, you know, serving the Empire, and Finn Rao was like, not all the clans do that. So I'm taking the fact that they're neutral right now, but there are people who, like, side on both sides, because it's like a clan system.
I can see that.
The reason I'm bringing this up is that I think it's going to be really important, because if Sabine can bring them together, she could possibly swing Mandalore for the Rebellion. But I think if they fail, Mandalore could fall to the Empire. And I think that's going to be a massive, like, plot thing, depending on, like, which side Mandalore ends up falling on.
Yeah, well, they're like Germany, you know?
Yeah.
They're known for their martialness. So either side wants Mandalore on their side, that's for sure.
I'm also, like, super excited to see Sabine's mom, because they've confirmed that she was part of Death Watch, and she also served Darth Maul. Like she was one of the people that served Darth Maul.
Uh-huh.
When he was ruling. So I think that's going to be really cool to finally see Sabine's mom, and to finally get, like, a mom story, even though she's kind of an evil mom. So, and then I was joking with Chris that, like, my other part of this trailer that I really, really loved was we got to see Thrawn's guns, and I'm not talking about his blasters, and I was just like, oh, Thrawn, your arms! Oh, I am now sexually attracted to an alien, holy crap.
Now you're going to be, like, buying tickets to go see Blue Man Group and stuff like that.
And be like, yes, yes, play your drums, thanks. Yeah, pretty much, but the first half of the season was kind of, like, hit and miss for me, but it looks like... It was kind of like that in season 2. The first half of season 2 was, like, kind of up and down, but, like, the second half brought it. And that's how I think Rebels is really good at. Like, they're like, let's set up the first half of the season to blow your fucking mind in the second half. Yeah,
and the first couple episodes will be just sort of, like, your standard episode, and then you'll get the last few will be... hardcore story and shit going down.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too. It was good stuff, so. But we're not there yet. Currently, we're on Clone Wars. So. Excuse me, sorry. Well, I'm ready to go forward with this episode this week. I really love this episode. I'm clapping.
Oh. It sounded like you were like clapping something off your hands, you know, like, I wash my hands of this.
No. I promise you. I promise you Chris isn't masturbating over there.
Oh, you do you?
Alright.
I don't know if our listeners know, but there's like 5, 6, 7, 8 states between us, so I don't know how, and my camera's not on, so Hope cannot confirm that.
Well, you're very quiet while you're doing it, then. Anyway, so ARC Troopers. Talk about the other sexy thing of the show, Rex. So, let's get started. ARC Troopers is the 46th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on September 17th, 2010, part of an hour-long Season 3 premiere with Clone Cadets. It was written by Cameron Litvak and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. Some extra information about the episode for you. This marks the return of Asajj Ventress, who hasn't been in the show since Season 1, Episode Cloak of Darkness. Chronologically speaking, this episode takes place after the Season 1 episode Rookies, serving as a sequel, though it does not immediately follow it. It shows what's left of the Domino Squad, Fives and Echo, becoming ARC troopers. Tepaka City is the capital city of Kamino, and its first appearance was in Attack of the Clones. The scene where Asajj Ventress kills Commander Colt originally had Ventress killing the ARC trooper just after she impaled him on her lightsaber. The scene was cut when Cartoon Network insisted on taking it out at Celebration 5. However, the scene was still part of a data clip summary of ARC troopers on Cartoon Network's own site. In later reruns of the episode, Colt is not shown being impaled at all. Rather, it is merely implied. The DVD, Blu-ray, and also Netflix release of the episode shows both Commander Colt's death and Asajj Ventress's kiss. Commander Colt's death was the first scene ever from Clone Wars to be censored by Cartoon Network. In this episode featurette, Dave Filoni says, "One of my favorite things in this show is the clone armor. We get to design clone armor. That's just awesome. I can't get into how awesome that is. It's a great thrill. Commander Wolf, for example, is a very case where I took something I love, like wolves, and I said, I'm putting that on a clone trooper helmet. When we get to Season 3 and I discuss killing Pluckett," I don't know what that is. I was using weird subtitles. "Well, it's probably time to start changing, to start a change. We've seen the classic Episode 2 clone armor for two seasons. Three seasons. Once you're done with Season 3, it's time to start introducing the idea that they're going to start changing their helmets at some point, like where they are at in Revenge of the Sith. That's when we came up with the ARC Troopers. I came up with the idea that the ARC Troopers are wearing experimental armor on Kamino. The ARCs are trained in secrecy and trading secrets, like you hear on the EU. They're wearing this hybrid helmet that's part Episode 2 with the fin on the top and part Episode 3 with the style of goggles and teeth in the mouth. It just became really interesting helmet to have and to show more armor attachments on the body. The entire costume is a bit different from what we've seen from the Clone Troopers. It all comes to head at the end when one of the 501st guys," talking about the charity group, "walks up and is wearing the armor we designed in the paint job we designed. I can't tell you how much I look forward to that." And then at this point in the featurette, it showed a bunch of cosplayers and the 501st members wearing the clone armor they designed. It just looks like it walked off the screen, and there they are standing. I really appreciate that, and I designed some of the stuff sometimes with those guys in mind. The more interesting clones I can get for the audience, the better, and we'll just keep doing it. Who doesn't want a clone helmet? You know I want one. I have one. Chris got me one for Christmas.
Yay!
Have you been wearing it around? Wearing it around the house?
I've worn it a couple times. I debated wearing it to Rogue One, but then it was like I didn't want to keep track of it before the movie.
Yeah,
so
you're definitely not going to wear it. I want to wear it through the movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, and also, like, ever since they had that, like, big movie shooting with the Batman movie, like, a lot of places in this area, like, won't let you wear masks, like, in movie theaters and stuff. So I didn't even want to be like, "Hey, movie tavern, do you let masks allow?" And I was like, I just don't want to be like, yeah. So, well, you know who's hassling us this week?
Oh.
Hello, Yoda.
Back I am.
Well, you were back last week.
Yoda's got back.
Alright, so, the space platitude this week is...
It's a long one this week.
"Fighting a war tests a soldier's skills. Defending his home tests a soldier's heart. In bed."
Yeah, that one's good for the episode, not so much for the platitude.
No, yeah.
I think we're 0-2 on funny platitudes so far, if I remember correctly. I think last week's was pretty kind of like, it's good for the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Not good for our sex jokes.
Yeah, maybe they're just getting better at writing the platitudes or something. Doesn't work out for us, so.
They can't, but it must become worse. They're not allowed. Alright, so. Act 1?
Act 1.
Alright, so. Act 1. So, way, way back in Season 1, we got the episode Rookies, where Echo, Fives, Rex, and Cody held off General Grievous and blew up a base on the Rishi Moon. The closest planet to that is Kamino. Now that we're all up to speed, the Republic is like, oh shit, Grievous and Asajj Ventress are going to attack all the clone babies on Kamino. No, no clone babies, no big clones, no army. Obi-Wan and Anakin are both like, damn, that's even risky for the Separatists. And Rex and Cody are both like, they come into our house, they better be ready to get fucked up. We don't take this shit sitting down on our perfect asses. We're gonna fuck up some bitches today! Don't you dare come into our house! Ventress and Grievous are both Skyping each other to do some evil snarking. They're pretty much saying, oh, my Schwartz is bigger than your Schwartz. No, my Schwartz is bigger than your Schwartz. Well, my Schwartz is in charge. Well, no, my Count Dooku put my Schwartz in charge. And stuff like that. But then it's revealed that Ventress is already on Kamino and some, like, aqua droid squid things, and they're waiting for the attack. After arriving in Kamino, actual adorable cutie pies, Echo and Fives, are touring their old stomping grounds. They see the Domino Squad's number one fan, 99, in a hallway, and they rush to greet their old friend. 99's droopy face droops even more when he finds out that Heavy was killed on the Rishi Moon. He wanted to give back the medal that Heavy gave him in the last episode. Fives and Echo say that there's an attack coming to Kamino, and 99 is like, then I will help you kick all the asses. I just realized something.
Like, I guess he had heavy metal.
Oh! That's so terrible. I am laughing and crying at the same time.
Excellent.
That both felt wonderful and hurt. Oh, man. I just realized something. No, it's not in my notes. I'm trying to figure out how Ventress got, like, her squidgerids to the planet without anyone noticing.
I don't know. Yeah, they didn't even get to that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just there. Like, and they have, like, an established blockade so that they, like, sneak it in, like, a screw at a time. They would just, like, shoot a screw through space.
It seems like they had, like, yeah, like, a really good blockade there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it just occurred to me as I was reading it, so. What'd you think of this setup act one?
Well, come on. Grievous and what was I griping about in our year-end or season two wrap-up? I wanted more Ventress.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, right off the bat, second episode, and Grievous together, splitting up to wreak havoc on two different fronts. And Grievous and Anakin never meet.
Oh my gosh, sorry. I didn't know my cat was in my room and she just came up and she was just like, ah!
Hi.
You scared the crap out of me, honey. Hi.
That's what they're there for.
Sorry, continue.
Hello.
Do you hear her?
I can't, is she purring or meowing?
She's a talker, she meows, but she might not be meowing. She's just like, what are you doing? Why are you screaming at an inanimate object?
As soon as you want them to do anything, they're not going to do shit.
I know. So you were saying, I'm so sorry I interrupted you, Kat.
I'm very happy to have Grievous and Ventress back. I like how Ventress has the droids at her command, they call her Mistress. She makes them... She's extra S&M in this episode. Come on.
We'll yeah.
There's a more extreme moment later on. But yeah, and then with the version I saw did not have her kissing the clone after she speared him, so I didn't see that.
Oh, it's pretty brutal, because she force-chokes him, starts pulling him in, and you see the look of terror on his face, and it just goes right through him, and she just kisses his cheek and then drops his body. It's pretty brutal.
I like her submarine. It's kind of like one of those Matrix squids, basically.
Yeah.
It made me wonder, why don't the Kaminoans live underwater?
I think they at one point their planet used to, but I don't think, because, like, from what I gathered from reading the history of Kamino, what ended up happening is there used to be, like, mountains and land and stuff like that, but, like, somehow their planet flooded. I don't know if it was, like, polar ice caps, so they had to clone themselves because pretty much their species was dying off very fast and they had no place else to live. So they pretty much cloned themselves into existence to what they are now. And so that's how Kaminoans live. They live in these cities above the water, and, like, when their race starts going down, they just clone more Kaminoans.
It seems like there'd be so much more space and there'd less storms blowing around underwater, you know? And they'd have the technology for it.
Well, I have... I'm going to give you a little preview. Because I love Season 4. Season 4 is easily my favorite season. But the very first arc is one of my, like, top least favorite arcs of Clone Wars. And it's the water war, where they're, like, all underwater and stuff like that. And I was thinking about this the other day, and the reason why, like, one reason I hate that arc so much is because it's really slow because of the fact they're underwater.
Right.
You can only move so fast, so it really kills the pace. I mean, like what are, like, everyone's least favorite lands in video games? Ocarina of Time, The Water Temple, Kingdom Hearts, Atlantica. Like, you can only just move so fast. So I'm kind of glad they're above land, because if they were, like, trying to have these, like, awesome quick lightsaber battles...
I mean, having them inside, but underwater, you know? Like, bubbles, sort of, you know, like Jar Jar's people, like the Gungans.
Ooh, that'd be much worse when the squid droids, like, penetrate them, because then they would just start flooding the city.
Yeah, it would, but... it would just seem like there'd be more space. It would be a more habitable than above ground on stilts.
Yeah.
With storms all the time.
Yeah.
But that's all those are the only notes I really have for the first part there.
I just kind of realized, have you ever seen the movie Mean Girls?
Moon Girls?
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. I have, a long time ago.
Grievous and Ventress kind of remind me of that movie.
Oh.
They're just like, you can't sit with me. On Wednesdays, we wear pink. I'm cooler than you are. You can't say fetch. Fetch is not a thing. And I was just like, oh, wow, they are kind of like the Mean Girls. And, like, Dooku is like Regina, and he's just like, here's all the rules, guys. And, like, Grievous and, like, Ventress are trying to sit at the cool table with him. But, like, Palpatine and Dooku's already there.
That's about right.
Oh, my God. They really are the Mean Girls. Someone please draw me fan art. All right, so the notes that I actually wrote down. It's so good to have Ventress back. I really missed her. I think I said that in the season 2 recap, too. I haven't got a chance to... Oh, my God, this is so off topic. I'm so sorry. But I was listening to yours and Scott's Rogue One review.
Yes.
And you guys were just having this, like, long talk about Carrie Fisher. And the whole time I'm sitting here going, she's dead!
Oh, yeah, that was before, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys were talking about, like, how, like, would she care whether or not they used her likeness? And I was like, she can't care now.
Oh.
It's really sad. Anyway, I'm really happy to have Ventress back. Not that I've upset myself. I think it was in my season 2 finale as well that I really missed her a lot. Aurra Sing can only carry the evil, bad lady thing for so long. I also really liked Cody in the opening scene, because I'm so used to, like, Rex being a lot like Anakin, and, like, he's, like, ready to always kick ass, and, like, snarky. But Cody is, like, way more formal, like Obi-Wan. But, like, when he stood with Rex stating that, like, they were all going to kick the shit out of some separatists because they dared to come to his home planet, that was a new side of Cody we haven't really seen yet. So I kind of, like, really liked seeing that little bit of fire in his character, because... Unlike Rex is so deep and interesting and, like, has all, like, these changes and stuff like that, Cody is a little bit more straightforward, so we don't get that much, like, fire in him. He can sometimes be a little flat. So I really liked seeing that. I wanted to say this, like, right at the beginning of this episode, because I'm going to talk about it at the end. But something to look out for over the course of this episode is we're going to start seeing the change in fives. And with that, it's what makes him such a big player in season 4 and later. And the reason I say that is that it starts in this episode. Up to this point, from rookies to clone cadet, he's more focused on protecting the Republic. It's this battle that makes him shift his focus, and he starts protecting his brothers before he wants to protect the Republic. Like, his brothers come first. And that's going to be really huge later on in later seasons. So, yeah, I just wanted to open with that.
Noted.
But that's really all I have for season two. We're done. Act one.
What are you saying? You're saying you're ready for act two? Is that what you're saying?
All right, act two? That's all I got.
Act two.
All right, act two. And the battle for Kamino begins. Grievous pops out of hyperspace with a slew of ships and starts wailing on the Republic blockade around the planet. Anakin hops onto his ship and takes a small strike force up to deal with the evil General Grievous. Shaak-Ti is in the war room with Obi-Wan and goes, "Huh, that's weird. They have a really, really, really small fleet for bad guys. Well, this isn't troubling at all. Let's fight." But as Grievous is letting several of his ships get blown up, Obi-Wan is like, "Wait a second. There's something off here. What's happening? Something very bad is about to happen." Debris from the battle starts falling to the planet. Ventress shows up in her squid droids. Turns out the debris is hiding more battle droids. Oh no. But Obi-Wan is on to their game because he's the best. And he hops into his little underwater cruiser and finds the aqua droids putting the assault craft together down in the ocean. The aqua droids jump and attack his ship, and Obi-Wan is forced to leap out into the water. Swimming desperately towards the surface, he hitches a ride on a manta thing called an Iwa and rides to the surface. The squid droids leap out of the water like mechanical kaiju and thrust into the city's walls. They start laying droid eggs, but they're actually droids, but it's still kind of weird. Obi-Wan is just like, "Damn it, Anakin, get your ass down here right now!" And Anakin zooms back towards the planet. Fives and Echo are assigned sniper positions, and my babies get a chance to shine. Droids are spilling out of the squid droids, and Grievous arrives with them. Ventress swaggers out of her own ship a few moments later. And then in the most heart-wrenching moment for me, there's a shot of the towers, and they're full of clone babies, and the towers are collapsing, and all the babies are dying, but they're like actual babies, like clone babies, like infants, like dying. Ah! Also, 99's is trying his best to help in the fight, and the ARC trooper is like, "You don't belong here," and then he gets shot. So karma's a bitch, bitch. That's what you get for putting down 99, you get shot. Obi-Wan. Time to switch gears.
Jeez, Obi-Wan, easy. Realized,
I know, right? I have a lot of cap locks in this, apparently. Obi-Wan realizes that they don't want to capture the city, and sends Anakin to protect the DNA chamber where Jango Fett's love juices are being stored. I know. Jango juices! 99 finds Fives and Echo and brings some more ammunition.
Jango's joy juice.
Joy juices!
Jango's joy jizz.
He just jizzed off in a shit ton of a lot of cups. Every one of those was a cup.
He's watching Mandalorian porn.
He's like, yes, yes.
He's watching the Star Wars Chris Holiday special.
I just started listening to that podcast that we did, our commentary, and I've already said, like, what is happening?
Why
like,
am I?
99 finds Fives and Echo and brings them more ammunition. Droids ambush them from behind, but the grenades that 99 brought takes out the droids. Then, out of the smoke, the baby clones from Death Trap that Boba Fett tried to off and kill come out, and they're still so precious to me. They got separated from their group, so 99 Fives Echoes text it upon themselves to babysit the cuties and make sure they're safe, because they're wonderful. In a hallway, Commander Colt and his men are holding up Grievous, but behind him, Ventress force chokes him and then kisses him and then shanks him with a lightsaber because she's a badass bitch. And Grievous and Ventress finally meet for the first time, and they have another Schwartz talk, and you can't wear pink and you can't sit with us, and fetch is not an actual thing. And she flirts with Grievous to belittle him, and then they go their separate ways. Goodbye.
I think Grievous might have a little crush now. She gives his head a little stroke and then tells him to keep playing with his droids.
Yeah, she's just like, "I like your droids," and he's just like, "Oh."
She's coming back extra saucy.
She is. She's like, I think this is, if I remember correctly, timeline-wise, I think this episode's in season one, so she hasn't had all the failures to where she's just like, "Oh, God, I'm, like, terrible." So I think she's still extra saucy because she still has a couple wins under her belt. So, but I think that's where the chronology of this episode is.
But,
if I remember correctly.
This is just some classic Star Wars where you have the battle on two different fronts, and they both have their a different look and feel to them.
It's actually three battles, because there's Obi-Wan, Anakin, and the clones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm counting, like, the ground and the air, I guess.
Oh.
And, like, on the ground, you've got the whole look of Kamino with the squids attacking. And in space, you've got your classic Star Wars space battle. It's a really good space battle, too.
Yeah.
It was reminding me of Rogue One, actually, in a lot of ways. So,
I love those squid droids, by the way. Like, when they're, like, attacking the city, they really look like big monster movie monsters just, like, swarming a city.
It looked like The Matrix. So, I think so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My only other note is, yeah, lots of clone babies or clone embryos or whatever state they are. They're in tiny tubes, so, yeah, they don't make it. I was watching this and I'm like, oh, here's another one of those scenes where if you're not really thinking about it, you're just like, oh, look, it's things are getting smashed up and you're like, oh, those are tubes full of babies.
I know, the babies.
Someone has to go clean that up.
I know.
That's a horrible thought, but it's true, man.
Actually, I didn't put it in my notes, but like at the end, they, you know, spoiler for the end of the episode, 99 dies, and so like they're holding him, and I was like, they probably just don't bury him. They probably just throw him in an incinerator and just like, oh, he's done.
Yeah, probably.
So they were probably just tossing a bunch of dead babies into the incinerator.
Or just chumming them out into the ocean.
Oh my god, this episode is hurting me even more. Ow! Ow, my heart hurts.
Go ahead and smash them, we'll just bake more.
Oh. I'm like getting teary for the babies. Oh.
Won't anybody think of the babies?
I'm just like pushing them along with a broom and just like shovel them out. Oh, I'm hurting myself now. This hurts my feelings. So, going back to my notes then, I'm going to say again, I just love having Ventress back. After not having her for a season and a half, like, she's so suave when she kills Commander Colt. And, like, the kiss is just such, like, a terrible thing. But she's just so awesome in this episode, this entire episode. She's so cool. You should see if you can find that scene, Chris. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it now. I'm sure it's clipped out on YouTube.
You know, you might even find, like, just go to StarWars.com for the episode, because they have, like, little clips for, like, throughout. And if when I was looking for the featurette, I think it's on there, but I'm not sure. I feel like I saw it on there, so, but I'm sure you could find it really easily if you just type in, like, Commander Colt's death. So, yeah, but it's kind of brutal, so, but I love it. It's very Ventress. So ever since in episode 2, our episode 3 commentary, I didn't believe that Anakin and Grievous never met. So, like, I was just scanning this entire episode like a hawk.
Doesn't happen.
Like, they have to see each other at some point, and they didn't.
I was watching too. I was just like, oh, Hope's gonna be watching this like a hawk. So I was checking it out myself.
And I'm gonna be watching it for the rest of Clone Wars. Like, I'm like, they have to at least get a glimpse at each other. Like, even if they like look across the ship and like wave, it's like, hey,
ain't gonna happen.
I it's not a meeting if they just like see each other across the ship and like wave at each other. That's not a meeting. That's just like a hey. It's not like a, hello, I'm Anakin.
Right,
oh,
you can catch a glimpse of him or whatever. But, yeah, but it, well, that still wouldn't make sense because his Anakin's greeting was like, it wasn't like, basically, didn't he say, I thought you were going to be taller or something to that effect, you know? Or
yeah, actually, I just thought, I think the only time they actually like, quote, unquote, met, but it wasn't really a meeting because Grievous just sent a message, was in Grievous' intrigue when he was just like, I have your Jedi friend. Like, he sent them a message, and Anakin watched the message, but he wasn't actually meeting because it was a message.
Right, right.
I think that is the closest, but I'm going to be watching for the rest of the show, like, waiting for them. And I know it's not going to happen, but I just want to make sure. It's a white whale that I know I will never catch. Go on, whales, go on. Obi-Wan will be your friend, little whales. He'll be fine.
Little flat whale.
So this next note, it's more of a joke. Because I know it's an animation thing, and they probably just didn't have the animation availability in 2010 to do this. But the entire time Obi-Wan is underwater, he must have the strongest hair gel in the galaxy, because his hair does not move the whole time he's underwater.
Maybe it's like a little force field like Padme had in her outfit to keep her boobs in a few episodes ago.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, like I was kind of watching. I was like, his hair's not moving. That's some strong hair gel you got there, Obi-Wan. You could like seal together ships with that stuff.
It's midichlorian.
That's where his midichlorians live. His secrets are in his hair, like in Mean Girls. This entire episode.
Midichlorian by Vidal Sassoon.
This entire episode's gonna turn into a Mean Girls episode. Oh my god. Anyway. And the only other note and this is something I've kind of noticed about blockades in Star Wars, they're only ever around the center of a planet.
Yeah, they're like they cover like maybe 1/20th of the planet. You know, if you fly off the other side, or come in from the other side, I gotta assume that the blockade moves around according to like. Alright, so you're flying into the planet and they can sense you coming, you know, for a little while away, so the blockade will sort of shift around and stuff. That's just me retconning it. That's not how it really seems to be. They just put some, you know, everybody in space travels, like, left to right.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it, and I think they've done this in Rebels, and I think they might have done this in, like, Rogue One and, of course, in the show a few times. But every blockade is around the equator, around, like, the entire equator. I was like, what if Grievous comes in from the North Pole and just is like, okay, bitches, because they can't move fast enough to get up there if he just, like, pops by the North Pole. And he's just like, I'm going to go see Santa and then fuck up your city. Like there would be no ships there to stop Grievous if he came in from the North Pole.
Yeah, the only thing that, Rogue One's the first Star Wars movie to ever address that by going, oh, yeah, we just put a force field around the whole goddamn planet.
Yeah.
That solves that.
Which was actually kind of fun. So, yeah, that was my only other note for Act 2.
All right, are we ready for the dramatic parts?
Yeah, except for I'm just now seeing in my notes, instead of writing Jango, I wrote Janfo.
Janko.
No, Janfo with an F like fish. Janfo. Oh,
whoa.
Janfo. Janfo's DNA.
Anyway.
So, F3. In the barracks, the clone cadets are scared, and 99 is like, if they win, we all die. But Rex and Cody show up on their white horses. Fives gives a rousing speech about how they're all gonna kick ass and chew bubble gum, but they're all out of bubble gum, so it's time to kick some ass. And he's like, look, cadets, we were all you guys like 6 months ago, but now we're awesome, and it's time for you to be awesome like us. 99 says that the armory is like right around the corner from the barracks. They're ready to kick some ass. Droids enter the command center, and we finally get to see Shaak Ti in action. She wipes them out really quickly and calls for them to keep fighting. Ventress saunters into the DNA chamber, and she gets Janfo's DNA. Janfo's DNA. Anakin enters, and he's just like, hey, sexy mama. And Ventress is like, ugh, I only flirt with Obi-Wan. Save your sandy pickup lines for Padme. And they kung fu fight. Grievous arrives at the barracks, but the clones have set up a bottleneck to pick off the droids one at a time. Obi-Wan shows up and he's just like, hey, I'm here, let's battle. And Grievous is like, bro, let's do this. Kenobi overpowers Grievous, who spider crawls away. Kenobi, I kind of condensed some of these sections because they were all split up. Obi-Wan chases them outside to a bridge where the fight continues. One of the squid's droids fall on the bridge and knocks Obi-Wan into the water. Grievous is like, yes! And escapes into a ship. Obi-Wan is saved by his Manta Ray buddy pal, and they watch Grievous escape. Rex, Cody, Fives, Echoes, 99, and cadets hold off the droids in the barrack. 99 offers support while the cadets fire from the bunk beds above. That's really hard to say, bunk beds above. When they run out of grenades, 99 is like, I'll get more. I'm a soldier like you. I'm finally a soldier. And then he gets gunned down by the droids. And I cried a lot. Fives and Echoes are just like, oh, you just did not. And they go into beast mode, wiping out the last of the droids. Anakin chases Ventress outside as they continue their brawl. Anakin uses the Force to snatch back Jango's DNA, and the clones see him fighting. They rush to his aid. We get a little bit of Vader when Anakin says he's just gonna let the clones execute Ventress right then and there. She Force pushes them all back and hops on the escape pod with Grievous. Because they wanted to make me cry even more, we go back to the barracks, where Fives is holding the dead 99 in his lap, and they're all like, he was a true soldier! Stop making me feel things, Star Wars! And Rex and Cody are like, Fives, Echoes, you guys are real bros out there. We're gonna make you ARC troopers. And Fives is like, bro! And Echo is like, I know, bro! And then they poured one out for their dead bro 99. The end.
Right.
Why did you let me write these things?
Alright, first of all, back in the second part of this, I knew 99 was a goner.
Mm-hmm.
I just as soon as he started becoming useful, it's like, oh no, well, there, I know where this is gonna end. And after the first episode, I actually docked it for that. I think if they wanted to be cagey, they should have left 99 alive, and been like, hey, 99, maybe you might be useful. And this is gonna sound awful, but killed him off later.
Yeah.
Built him up more as a character, you know. Cause it was almost like I knew it was coming, and if he lived, I would have been like, oh, what a little switch up there. They let 99 live, but they
I knew a good place where they could have killed him later. I'm not gonna tell you exactly why and like what the reasons are, but in season 5, there's an arc where it's season 6. It's the first arc of season 6. There, Fives actually goes back to Kamino, and that would have been a good arc to put 99 back into and like, have him kill Ben. I think that would have been really good, so I do really agree with you on that one. That would have worked really well.
I think it was, like, a little too obvious. And, like, the space battle in the last part, I think Grievous and Kenobi's fight, really well animated.
Oh, I think that's one of my notes. Like, the animation has improved a lot this season. And just not only just Kenobi and Grievous, Ventress and Anakin. Like, that is such a fast fight, and it's so, like, detailed.
It's very Star Wars-y and cinematic and camera angle-y, and it's really nice. They did a really nice job.
Like, little moves. Like, there's one where, like, Anakin, like, thrusts his lightsaber forward, and she used both of her lightsabers to, like, trap his lightsaber, like a little scissor. And, like, they had to grapple for, like, half a second before she threw it off. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, little details like that. Like, the animation for this fight has, like, was so already so much better than season 2.
And the crab crawl comes back.
I put that in my notes. I said we also get some good old Grievous clanking and stomping for Chris, and some of that is stomping
into
on
his escape ship, which is sort of like the like, iPod of escape ships. It looks like it was designed by Macintosh.
I think it was a Kamino escape ship.
Yeah, it was very, very shiny and non-Grievous looking, you know, non-clanky looking.
What? What, folks? You want outside?
My kitty wants outside. Give me a second.
All kitties want outside.
Whoa, you're trapped in my room. Meow, meow. There you go. Okay, I'm sorry. I got you back to Clone Wars. Cats are done. We're not at the cat people yet. They're season 4.
But yeah, I was like, the moment he started crab crawling, I was like, Chris is gonna go, yes!
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I also just like...
You always know he's done when he's crab crawling. That's basically his tail's between his legs.
I also like when Grievous, like, grabbed Kenobi's face and just threw him. I was just like, oh, Kenobi. It was just like,
those are the only real notes I had for the third part.
Yeah, in big letters in my notes I had, 99, no! It gets me every single time,
and
it does. I still, every single time, I'm just like, no, 99, no! And then the thing about the animation improving. And I only really have two other notes. One's shallow and one's not. It's a little animation detail, but I really like Rex. Rex has like a 5 o'clock shadow in this episode. It's a really nice little detail. So I really like that a lot. Also, here we go. Okay, Five's development. His focus is now protecting his home, the cadets, and their brothers. And I really think losing Droid Bait cut up and especially Heavy got him to this point in this episode. Because Heavy's death was so that his brothers could live on to fight another day. And now Fives is taking on that role. And in his heart, it's for saving his brothers first and foremost. And I think it's even pushed even further because he couldn't save 99. Because like the moment 99 is shot, like Fives goes into like a beast mode and like jumps a crate and starts shooting the shit out of people. We're starting to see that kind of develop more, that he's going to be more focused on protecting his brothers opposed to saving the Republic.
Right.
And that's his drive to fight now. We're going to see it again later in the season. There's an episode, a three-part episode called The Citadel. It's the Citadel arc. And Fives is in that episode, too, and he's back with Echo. And something happens that kind of pushes him even further. And he's going to end up being the Fives of season four when we get there. Because the Fives that's here now is completely different from the Fives in the Umbara arc in season four. Because in season four, like, he's questioning everything. He's like, I don't think that's the right move. Are we really going to do that? Pretty sure that's a suicide mission. Why are we doing that? What is the Republic? Why am I fighting for the Republic? What is happening? And Rex is like, oh my god, stop it. You're making me ask questions. So, like, this is the beginning of Fives getting to that point. And it's going to go even more further when we get into later seasons. So, I love Fives. He's like I would say after Rex, Fives is my favorite clone. I love him so much. Ooh. I love him. Yeah. Favorite clones! That's all I had for Act 3. This is a very straightforward episode. It's, fight. Let's get out of this fight.
This is pretty straight up.
Mm-hmm. Which we kind of needed because we've had a lot of two-hour episodes recently.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was thoroughly enjoying it, and it was Ventress and Grievous heavy. So.
Oh, you're ranking up the episode. So, what'd you think of the episode? Your final thoughts? How would you rate it?
This one was gonna get a 9 for me, for all those reasons, for just being so like, not just a typically awesome episode, but an even more awesome. It was like the animation stepped up, and it was just really nice. Docked it a half a point for taking out 90, being predictable with 99 being taken out. So I'm giving it an 8.5.
Mm. Oh my god, I actually scored slightly lower than you on a clone episode.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What's up with that? Well, it is a Grievous episode, like, too.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that. A lot of it, and I didn't put this in my notes, but there's not as much character stuff. Right. I really score a lot higher when it's, like, character-based episodes. So, like, you know, when we get to, say, like, Umbara, which is probably going to be 10s across the board for me during those episodes, is we get awesome battles with character stuff.
Well, I was going to say, with the amount of battle in this one, there, it's amazing they got any character stuff with Fives in there at all, you know?
Yeah, so... That's really why it's a little bit lower than what I would probably rank a clone episode. But for me, I'm glad that they finally put I'm glad they put this in a two-parter, because last week was more of the character journey of the Domino Squad, and this was their badass battle with Echo and Fives. And together, they made a really solid season opener. Like, if you watch these two episodes together, if we did both of these episodes together at one, it would probably be like a 9.5 for me. But separately, they just don't really hold up that much. I love this episode, though. We get Ventress back in all her glory. We get to see Echo and Fives progress through the ranks. We get to see, I could have used a touch more Rex. That would have been nice. And we have this heart-wrenching death of 99, which gets me every single time. And we even get a little Vader moment with Anakin. I forgot about that since the last time I watched it. So this is just a really fun battle episode, and I really like it a lot. So I give it an 8 out of 10.
And, yeah, an 8 and 8.5 are still really good scores. So
yeah. it's just it's a fairly straightforward episode, so it's not like now Rex is questioning everything about his life. So yeah, it's more like the deserter. So oh, I can't wait to get Umbara. Those are gonna be some long episodes, I know, because I'm gonna be like, and then when they said this, this happened, and then when they said this, this line was actually inflecting this, but now we're having this happen. It's gonna be crazy. I can't wait till we do Umbara. Those are gonna be really long 4 episodes. I'm just gonna warn you now. Should probably be at the last half of this year, because
you know how many of those warnings I've gotten in the course of this show so far. You warned me about this whole. You warned me about this whole season coming up here. So yeah.
Yeah, this is a really good season. This is one I would say this is probably my second or third favorite season among the 6. Like this one's pretty far up there. I really like a lot of the episodes in this season. I can't really think of anything. Well, there's a couple of arcs like the Mortis arc. I really like it. But I also really dislike it at the same time. I love and hate the Mortis arc for completely different reasons. And there's a few arcs like that. Like, there's some arcs with Padme where I'm like, these are really good, but I kind of wish these were sooner. And there's some stuff with, like, the final with, like, Ahsoka being kidnapped by, like, bounty hunters and, like, she meets Chewbacca. I like what they're going for, but at the same time, it just doesn't fully, like, hold
mesh,
up.
Right.
So, like, I like it and I dislike it at the exact same time, and that's what a lot of the episodes in the like a lot of the arcs in the season for me. It's not like season 4 where if you took out the opening arc with the Water War, it's a perfect fucking season. That is a perfect season of Clone Wars. Like I love that entire season. It's gonna be really hard for me to pick a favorite. So I can't wait for season 4, and then we get to season 5, and I kind of hate everything. Actually, I only really hate one arc. But
spoiler.
Yeah, I like and dislike a lot of parts of season 5. There's one I can't stand, the droid arc. I can't. I hate that.
Oh, it has droids in it?
Yeah. Huh. Well, it's... Go figure. I've talked about it before. It's my least favorite arc of Clone Wars, and I kind of want to throw it out a window. So, anyway. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback. You can leave us feedback in several different places. You can leave it on iTunes, which we would really like, because if you rate and review our show, it helps other people find our show, and we will read your review right here on the show. You can hit us up on Twitter at JGuysAndJedi, or you can leave us a message on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. If you go to the top right spot, you can actually type in JGuys, and it will pull up all of our episodes. And this week's feedback came from our Facebook page with Aaron and Scott McGregor chatting about the episode Lethal Trackdown. And the first one of this, I guess we were talking about some canceled game. I don't remember, because that was like 2 months ago. So.
Well, remember it was when they were in the lower levels of Coruscant.
Uh huh.
And I said, weren't they supposed to make a video game about the lower levels?
Yeah. Okay, I remember this now. That was like 2 months ago.
And I'm like, I don't remember the name of it. So that's what Aaron Henley is, and I'm imagining Scott McGregor kicked in because he's a video game freak. Okay, so Aaron Henley says the game that had been canceled was 1313. I remember now. It was going to follow a bounty hunter, possibly Boba Fett, and would have been a very mature take on the Star Wars universe. If I remember right, this would have been the first M-rated Star Wars game, but was canned after the Disney buyout. This was a shame, as the game footage looked amazing, and Star Wars can tell mature stories for older fans. Oh well, maybe one day. And Scott McGregor says, as a resident freak video game expert, I concur. And then Aaron Henley said, well, maybe one day we'll get a Rogue One-esque type game. Maybe even more likely now after Rogue One. And then Scott McGregor replies, I know they're adding some Rogue One content to Star Wars Battlefront, at least. And I've seen people playing that. You could go online and there was one video that was like 3 or 4 hours long of someone playing the battle at the end of Rogue One on Battlefront. So, yeah, it that's definitely happened.
That's really cool. Things I don't know because I'm too poor to buy video game systems.
Yeah. I've got a house full of video game systems. Always like two two platforms behind what the newest one is, you know.
Yeah.
Don't have a PlayStation 3 in this house, but we do have up to PlayStation 2 and an Xbox. But, and tons and tons of games, nobody ever gets the time to play.
My most recent video game system is a first generation Nintendo Wii that I got in college. Like, it's the first gen Wii. It doesn't actually play all Wii games because it's so old.
We've got one of those in our house, too.
Pretty much I use it to watch Netflix. Because I'll just put on Netflix and watch Friends or My Little Pony in the background while I do stuff. I feel that. What I super duper really truly want is I want to save up to get a PS4 for when Kingdom Hearts comes out when I'm 74, because I keep delaying that game. So when Kingdom Hearts comes out, I'm going to be like 75 years old, and I'm going to be like, this is great! And then I'll die, because I'll finally get to play Kingdom Hearts 3. I can't wait.
I want to get one of those Raspberry Pis, and then have one of my friends that's mechanically, electronically inclined, I guess you don't have to be extremely so, is you can take one of those little tiny Raspberry Pi computers and fill it full of ROMs and emulators and hook up, you know, two game controllers to it and just basically have a little box with all the old games, N64.
I've seen those. I think that they're actually releasing a new little box of a Super NES, and it comes with like 50 preloaded games on it.
Right. But
I have seen. I think that actually goes on the market soon. I don't know. It might actually be out already, but I know it's coming.
One of those Pis would probably cost you like 50, 60 bucks to set it up, but you would literally have thousands of games with it. You know.
Yeah.
And you could probably add thousands more by just plugging in a USB, on the side of it, So I just like the idea of having this little teeny tiny box with all the old, all the old games that I used to play, all the old stand-up games and stuff like that. You could just fit hundreds of those on the ROMs and they don't take up no space.
Heck, I saw at a Dollar General once. One of those little boxes, but it was for a Sega Genesis, and it had like 10 games on it for $20.
Oh, sure, and they make them for the Atari 2600. Yeah, they make a whole bunch of those. There's an Amiga one.
Yeah, so that would be.
I get them at garage sales all the time for like a buck or two.
Yeah, I've seen those everywhere, and I thought about getting one because I used to grow up playing the old Sonic the Hedgehog game. That's actually how I got into comic books. I used to play the old Sonic the Hedgehog games, and when I went to my first comic book store when I was like 6 or 7, I saw Sonic the Hedgehog comics. I didn't even know they made them. And so my very first comic ever was Sonic the Hedgehog number 33. I still have my original one. It doesn't have a cover on it, but I also got a new one that's like all put together and stuff like that. So I have two of them now, and that was my first comic book ever. And that's how I got into comics, was through... I used to play Sonic the Hedgehog games. That was my first intro to comics. Man, Princess Sally was my my badass bitch when I was a child. I wanted to be Princess Sally and Bunny Rabbit because, man, those two were like two of my strong female characters when I was a kid, and I so badly wanted to be. And then later on when they did the Knuckles series, he had like a 20-issue miniseries. They introduced this character named Julie Sue, and she was also an echidna. And she was so cool. Like, she was a gray character, and it was, like, one of my first introductions to, like, gray characters who used to be evil and, like, became good guys, but they were still kind of in thievery. I'm really pissed off because the original, writer of Sonic the Hedgehog got, back all the rights. And you can actually look this up. It's, a weird, comic where it's, Sonic, but not really, but in space, and the echidnas are like space wanderers, but they're also kind of sexy, and he redesigned Julie Sue so she's not like a tank. She's like this sexy bosom bombshell lady woman, and it's ridiculous. And
it sounds
so...
like somebody just indulging their own ideas.
I was so pissed off because when people talk about their childhood being ruined, that fucked up my childhood because Julie Sue was such an influential character to me as a little girl because she got a second chance and she was this badass bitch and she had no problem punching out a guy and then shooting a bitch. And it was such an influential character. So when I saw that 6 months ago, a guy told me about it and I looked it up. I was just like, what the fuck is this? How dare you? I don't even care if you're the original creator. How dare you?
How dare you?
That's like borderline Frank Cho shit right there. You don't do that. By the way, I don't like Frank Cho as a comic artist, by the way. He's kind of a sexist dumbass pig who kind of needs to be flamed. What do you mean that I drew this woman with massive breasts and no clothes? How is that bad? Well, she is a 14-year-old girl. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just Riri Williams. And by the way, Jessica Drew's butt is in the air. It's fine. But it's a 14-year-old girl, Frank Cho. She's fine. She's legal, right? Only to you. Sorry.
He's following a long artistic tradition.
Yeah, he is. Well, you know it's also a tradition?
Oh, yeah.
Can find us.
And the cheesy music comes on.
That's our music.
All of a sudden you're in a Kmart in 1974. Walking down the aisle smoking a cigarette because you could.
Oh my god, that's so true.
You would. I remember being in the Ben Franklin store in Carthage, New York, looking at the toys. I remember I would go to the toy aisle because they would have the little Fisher Price movie projectors that you could you'd look into and you could wheel a movie through, and they'd have the Alien one there and the Star Wars one there, so I'd always go there to watch scenes from Alien and Star Wars.
Yeah, now you can't even vape in them all.
Yeah. and people would just be, you know, there'd be cigarettes butted out on the floor and people just walking around smoking, nobody thinking twice about it because that's what you did in those days. Anyway, you can find me at twotruefreaks.com. And you can smoke at twotruefreaks.com. We really don't care. And while you're smoking...
Would the smoking section be the cantina?
The cantina is a smoking section, for sure. And the drink and the drinking section. It's the beer garden. We got I think the official term is a shitload of podcasts here. One of these days I'm going to go through and give us an as of today we have this many podcasts. I'm just going to go through all of our podcasts, see how many episodes there are each one, and get a count just out of curiosity.
Shitload is the scientific number.
Yeah, it's definitely a metric shit ton. And you can go to Facebook. We got Two True Freaks is on Facebook, as we just mentioned, and we have the Two True Freaks Cantina Beer Garden, where we go, you know, the Two True Freaks page. We mostly talk about the podcasts that come out, and the cantina's pretty much just nerd stuff, whatever you want to talk about. We're on Twitter, where Gene, the podcasting machine, runs our Twitter page, and Hope runs the J Guys and Jedi Twitter page.
Gene actually put up our new episode this week before I did on Twitter, because when you messaged me last night, I was climbing into bed, and I was like, I'll do it in the morning. And by the time I got up, it was like, Gene Hendrix put up this thing. And I was almost like, thanks, Gene.
I fell asleep last night and didn't post it till almost 3 in the morning. It's usually right around the crack of midnight I post and then go, oh, hey, look, Hope's still up. But last night I was late, and I was just like, oh, well, they'll live for those 3 hours. But where can they find you?
Well, I run our Twitter at JGuysAndJedi.
Yeah.
When Star Wars Rebels comes back, I like to live tweet the episodes. So I'm looking forward to that, especially in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So you can also find me on Twitter at Hope Molinax. And I'm also the newsbeat writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. So check me out over there. If it says news, it's 99.9% me. So, yeah, that's where you can find me.
Yay! And we'll be back next week with the third episode. We're getting our toes right into season 3.
Yeah, and there won't be as many like clone babies being swept away.
It's like the end of a Carol Burnett episode where they get the broom out. Sad music plays.
Just like pushes them along.
Yeah, pushes them all into a pile.
Oh,
and then...
there's Jar Jar next week. Oh God! It's a Jar Jar. I forgot about this episode. It's
Jar Jar slipping on clone baby bodies like banana peels. Whoa!
Oh I forgot about this. This is one of those episodes. I'm like, hey, it's hit and miss for me this season. This is, if I remember correctly, I think this is a miss, if I remember. So, oh my god. Oh, and I forgot that Zero is back, and there's a Cad Bane in C-3PO episode, but there's fucking Night Sisters this season, and I'm really excited.
What's his name is with Jar Jar in this one?
Bail Organa.
Bail Organa, so that's pretty cool, right? Especially after Rogue One.
Oh my god. When he was just like, I'm gonna go back to Alderaan. I was like, no, Bail, come back.
Maybe that might not be a good idea, dude.
Come back. We gotta do it. Oh, Shams and Doulas in next week's episode? Yeah, okay, that's a saving grace. I'll take that. So, wait, what is this episode next week even about? I don't remember. I guess we'll see.
It sounds like it's about 14 different things, so.
Yeah, I guess we'll see next week.
We'll find out next week.
So, with that, here's Jar Jar slipping on dead babies.
Wahoo!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2TrueFreaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2TrueFreaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2TrueFreaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2TrueFreaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2TrueFreaks on Facebook. Just search for 2TrueFreaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2TrueFreaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? It'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone. But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.